Volcanic ash is delaying flights all over Northern Europe. This is not a headline from last year.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. An ash cloud from a volcano in Iceland could force airlines to cancel up to 500 flights in Ireland, Scotland, and parts of Scandinavia. And while that's not as yet bad as a similar volcanic incident in Europe last year, travelers and investors are worried things could still get worse. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
British Airways, Air France, and EasyJet cancelled most of their flights in and out of Scotland this morning. Fearing the financial fallout, investors sold stocks in these companies. The shares are down about 5%. Analysts do not expect the airlines to suffer a major hit, however. Air traffic controllers are responding more flexibly to the cloud than last year. They're not blanket banning flights. But Brian Torra of JM Finn Investment Managers says the airlines are understandably nervous after last year's disaster.
100,000 flights were cancelled. It cost the industry an estimated $1.7 billion. So this is no small deal if we've got another volcanic ash cloud.
The airlines are hoping that this year's ash cloud will dissipate quickly, but weather conditions remain volatile. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
President Obama continues his trip to the UK today ahead of his plans to attend the big summit of the world's Group of Eight economic powers in France later this week. But before that meeting gets underway, there's an international summit in Paris today bringing together world leaders and tech titans. So what does Facebook have to do with international policy? The BBC's Christian Fraser is with us now from Paris with the latest. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning.
So the Facebook CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, and other tech CEOs are there with the heads of state. Why are they there?
Well, it's the first time the voices of the big internet companies, the thinkers, the major players who build the internet will be heard at the highest level of world politics. The internet economy makes up around 6% of the world GDP. It's a huge business, but there's still this huge gap of incomprehension between the people in the technology industry, the techies, and the policymakers. They're two very different worlds. They often have a very hard time understanding each other. Nicolas Sarkozy, who is hosting the debate and speaking this morning, wants to get a feeling for what the industry is thinking and how policymakers might be able to help.
I know there's been tension before between world leaders and these tech leaders. How do you think that's going to play out?
The two views are this. There's that espoused by Google and Amazon, who want a hands-off approach to the industry. They want more favorable tax regimes and labor laws for the industry to help it grow. And then there's the alternative view adopted by many countries in Europe now of more regulation on things like privacy law, competition and copyright laws. And I think there is a lot of suspicion, not least because the man that is hosting the debate, President Sarkozy himself, is seen within Europe by many in the industry as a barrier to digital growth. He's introduced anti-piracy laws. He's proposed a levy to tax global internet companies. It's very different to the American approach. President Obama has underlined throughout that he wants more freedom. It underpins not only the American economy, but also it's fundamental to U.S. foreign policy.
The BBC's Christian Fraser in Paris. Christian, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. The European shares are up more than about 0.5% right now. Asian markets rose slightly as well today. China has appealed a World Trade Organization ruling, saying the U.S. blatantly ignored international trade rules when it imposed trade barriers on car tires imported from China. Wall Street yesterday, fears of spreading European debt had markets down, way down. The Dow fell 130 points to end the day at 12,381.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Today, the V in VW stands for Volunteer States. Volkswagen opens a new factory in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The German automaker says its goal is to beat out Toyota and General Motors to become the world's number one car maker within the next 7 years. Well, to do that, Volkswagen aims to triple sales here in the United States. And reporter Sally Herships tells us the plant fits right into that plan.
One of every 9 new cars sold globally last year was made by Volkswagen. But in the U.S., this major brand is a niche player, on par with Subaru. Part of the problem is it hasn't made cars in the country since the late 80s.
If you're going to be competitive, you generally have to build your cars where you sell your cars.
David Cole is chairman emeritus for the Center of Automotive Research. He says building a plant locally can help protect manufacturers from fluctuating exchange rates. And by choosing the South, Volkswagen joins other car makers looking for lower-cost auto workers. The plant is expected to crank out 150,000 cars a year, starting with the Passat. But the car's design has been tailored for American consumers.
It took German car makers a long time to understand that U.S. buyers wanted cup holders.
Bill Visnick is senior editor at AutoObserver.com. He says there are big differences between what European and American consumers want in a car.
First and foremost is interior size. Americans like cars that they feel like they can stretch out in a little bit inside.
Volkswagen says its American Passat is a few inches longer and wider than the German version and several thousand dollars cheaper. It will also have more cup holders, 8 for a car that seats 5 people. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, a study out of Europe says men who are more cultured are happier and healthier people. Researchers at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology say cultured men are generally in better health, have lower levels of depression, and are more satisfied with their lives, more so than even cultured women. What does the study define as cultured? Well, those who go to museums, galleries, and theaters often. For those of us who don't do those things often, apparently there's a television at the hospital with our names on it. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Investing comes with risks and rewards. So imagine a way to cut out the risk and still make a buck or two.
Some people, it might be liberating and empowering to just trade and not worry about the money that they're losing.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Social networking and investing. Match made in heaven or complete fantasy. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.